welcome to Valuification of Things, your one-stop podcast on the discussion of value, and especially business value. This is a forum where your host, Sree Sundaram, will be discussing topics on how to quantify value for practically any scenario. Along the way, we will have business leaders and subject matter experts describing their value journey. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this podcast episode.
Hello, I'm Sree Sundaram, your host for this episode of the Valuification of Things. In today's episode, I'm speaking with Jay Natarajan, strategically tactical global leader in data and AI, sales and customer success. Today, we'll be talking about the business value of data readiness in the context of Gen AI. As we all know by now, every company wants to jump on the Gen AI bandwagon. But are they truly ready? We'll talk about what it takes to get ready, what we mean by data readiness, and some of the biggest challenges foreseen in terms of data. We'll talk about specific examples where data readiness played a key role in the business value of Gen AI initiatives. As I said before, Jay is a strategically tactical global business and tech executive in the data and AI space. Through the lens of data, she brings a comprehensive end-to-end experience in driving AI-led digital transformation. She is a recognized industry leader for her visionary thinking, adept at identifying trends and translating them into actionable strategies to drive top-line growth for the business. So hello, Jay, and welcome to the Valuification of Things.
Hi, Sree. Thank you for having me. And I really appreciate the kind introduction. And I'm super excited to be here.
Okay. So let's just jump into it, Jake. You know, as I said earlier, everyone and their uncle wants to jump in on the AI bandwagon, whether they're ready or not. Clearly, Gen AI is heavily dependent on data. And you need to have the right kind of data to have this journey. So how can they be data ready?
So I strongly believe that there is no AI without data. And if you take it one step further, there is no AI strategy without the data, right? Like, so at the core, it is very critical for organizations to think about data governance, security, and transparency, right? Like GPT-4 is super inspirational and it's trained on open data. But if you think about AI strategy or AI in a context of a company, you put on a very different lens, right? Like you don't create one big data model with all the data within the organization and open it up for the entire organization to consume, right? Because there are scenarios where the content should not be made available to somebody who don't have access materially to those information. So again, AI is no different. You can't have one huge model and train it with all the data and open it up for access. So you really do need to think about the data in itself, you know, what data you're bringing in and how are you going to partition the data? How are you going to segment the data? Right, like, and also on top of it, on security side of the things, you need to really think about how are you going to restrict the access to the data, you know, RBAC, role-based access control, right? Like, I know that we're just going back in time, but it is still very, very applicable to the AI landscape that we're talking about. And then you have to think about transparency, and transparency is super important because you need humans to trust the models and the output that it produces from the models. So how are you going to help the humans to understand the truth and trust the models as well? So transparency, explainability, you know, all of those are, again, very, very important. So in a sense, organizations need to have a strong sense of personas, roles, data use, you know, how do you manage the data in most of the cases. Right? Like, again, Gen AI is a tool in the toolbox. As with any tool, you need to have the right business reasons to require the investments, because Gen AI, in a sense, it needs a high-end processor. It needs a high-end chip architecture, right? Like, so at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we have business cases with the right ROI that would warrant Gen AI and the investment for developing these systems. And more importantly, the right data set, right? Like, so because data cannot be an afterthought when it comes to Gen AI.
So that's a great backdrop there, Jay. You touched on a few things. You talked about the ROI, you talked about the business case, the value and all of that. Clearly, you're alluding to the fact that there's a value there. So when you think about value, there's a cost attached to this value because nothing comes free in here. So what are some of the costs or challenges that you typically don't see in a non-AI related data initiative?
I will talk about the challenges and I'll quickly touch on the cost as well, right? Like, so when you're building these AI systems to drive the business outcomes, they need a context of what is the current state of business. Because if you don't understand what's going on now, you can't really figure out what should happen next. So when you're building any AI systems or any system, you are trying to drive business outcomes. At the end of the day, that's what you're trying to do. So when you're trying to drive the business outcomes, you first need to know what is the current state so that you can actually reimagine or imagine what the end state of the problems, in the problem set should be. If I take an example, right, like if I am a customer in a banking environment, the bank should know what are the services across their value chain should be applicable to me, right? I could be an individual, I could be a small business owner, I could have more than one accounts there. So, how do you relate all the services, right? On a surface, it's a very simple question, but it's very, very hard to answer because the data value chain is not complete in most of the companies. That is one of the bigger challenge for the entry here, right? Like, so, everybody has tremendous amount of data. I have a lot of data. You have a lot of data. Enterprises, this is what they do. They collect the data, they filter it, they sort it, and we think that most of the data is structured, but 80 to 85% of any enterprise data is also unstructured. Right, like, but the real challenge is the ability to take all the data, not just structured, but also structured and unstructured, all the data that we have, and turn it into automated systems that can not just be predictive, but it can be prescriptive as well, right? Like, because it can recommend actions based on the insight. So one of the key challenges that I've seen, and I'm pretty sure you've seen this as well throughout our career, is while combining the structured and unstructured data, there are increased chances of errors when the insights are produced because the SMEs, who are the internal teams or the business, the line of business teams, they have the knowledge, but most of the time, organizations generally struggle to codify that knowledge, because if you don't codify it, the pipeline and the processes cannot actually replicate the knowledge so that the insights could be disrupted, right? Like, that's one of the challenges. Some of the other challenges are talent, right? Like, you still do need to have talents. And, how do you work as a team to get to the insight? So you cannot just know the technology side of it. You still need to understand the business side of the houses as well, right? Like, and how do you construct and derive value from the data supply chain? And how do you monitor and make improvements? And not last but not least, the compliance and the regulatory side of the house. If I think about the cost, right, like GPT-4, I believe it was to train GPT-4, it costed about $100 million. Not everybody is going to have $100 million.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you really do need to think about, do you need that scale of a model, or what scale of a model that you need to have? And also, you know, like how much data set it needs, you know, like how are you going to source the data? Is it the data that you have or you're going to acquire? Are you going to go after the synthetic data, right? Like, so all of those need to be thought through. And the other part of it is the sustainability aspects of it. You're training this big of a model, you're going to create such a carbon footprint. So there are cost aspects, there are challenge aspects, there are environmental aspects, you know, like you just need to think through all of it as you're venturing into this journey.
Thank you for that, Jay. You alluded to quite a few things. And in those allusions, I gleaned one thing, that there was a governance aspect to all of this, right? You talked about the data value chain, which was a fantastic insight there. You talked about the quality of the data. You talked about, you know, the talent and the different aspects of it. Leads me to that there is certainly a governance aspect to it. I mean, yes, you and I know there is clearly a data governance aspect of it, and most companies have not even solved that. Yep. Now, added to these added complexity of Gen AI, traditional data governance problem. How is it different? What else do we need to do from plain old data governance in general?
So I wouldn't say there's the problem set is still the same. That is my opinion, right? Like, but the scope is much bigger, because even in the traditional data governance, you really have to think about the partition data use or back all of those, right? But when it comes to structured and unstructured data, typically organizations work with structured data. They got that, right? Like when it comes to unstructured data, you're talking about chats, videos, you know, coding, you know, just normal codes, like, you know, unstructured text and all of it. So you really do need to think about the volume aspects of it and scalability, mm-hmm. and, you know, like how are you going to cleanse and optimize these unstructured data, so that the AI models, LLMs, essentially can vectorize the data, right? Like when I say vectorizing the data, what I mean by that is, you know, how do you prioritize these unstructured data, create embeddings, and also index it so that it streamlines the context of the content that we have. So Gen AI can crawl through and pull the information that it needs for, so that it can provide the accurate answers that we need, right? So when you think about all of this, data governance and compliance aspects also comes in, because when you're crawling, you want to make sure that the private and the sensitive mm-hmm. data is being separated out and all of those, right? Like, so if I think about the whole gamut of the landscape, I would say there are four things. I kind of like broadly categorize these on, right? Like one is the capturing the data, right? What do you want to capture? How do you want to capture? What do you want to do with it, right? Like, because you really do need to think about what are the highly scalable use cases, because otherwise you may end up with capturing a ton of information, which is going to get into massive compute, or the teams could be running off, you know, like doing one-off integrations, which is going to increase the complexity of the implementation. And also it's going to increase the technical debt as well, right? So again, like, you know, like how are you going to store these source data, and how are you going to think about labeling, and how are you going to think about metadata and lineage tracking? Because not all data is acquired by you. There could be some data that you're leased. So you need to track the lineage to properly manage the data as well. And once you figure out which data you're going to capture, then you have to think about pre-processing the data, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, how mm-hmm. you're going to format this, unifying the format of all the data or as much as you can. How are you going to cleanse the data? And, you know, how are you going to separate the sensitive data, PII, and all of those? And then you have to vectorize the data. And last but not least, you know, like you have to think about LLM integrations, prompt engineering, how do you think about replaying the data so that, you know, like if I have to go back through the model versioning, I have an ability to replay that, right? And last but not least, you know, like all of this could happen, but the model accuracy still matters. And so the models could still have mistakes, and how are you going to address this as well, right? Like all of this, I know that not all of this would come under data governance, but some of it is data governance, some of it is data management. But when you are building a system, you do need to think about end to end, you know, what the data lifecycle is and how are we going to manage those.
So thank you for that, Jay. We'll take a brief break. When we come back, I will ask Jay about some of the ethical considerations surrounding the use of data. She talked about data management and data governance, and will specifically delve into ethical considerations there. Specifically, how can organizations avoid bias, stereotyping, and other sorts of misinformation that can potentially be propelled by Gen AI technologies?
This episode of Valuification of Things is sponsored by Valuify. Valuify is a free tool that allows you to create business value models. Go to valuify.net and click download to begin your valuification journey.
Welcome back. Today we are talking to Jay Natarajan, digital transformation leader in the data and AI space, who has led many organizational transformations with an eye towards customer success. Earlier, she explained to us about data readiness, data governance, and data management in the context of Gen AI, and how organizations can truly get ready to reap the business benefits. In this section, we'll talk about the downsides of bad organizational data. How can it perpetuate bias, reach wrong conclusions, and spread misinformation, and bring down the overall business value of the initiative? We'll also have Jay tell us about a few success stories that she has seen in the industry. So Jay, what are some bad aspects of what they call as foul data? I should probably trademark this thing called foul data. I call foul data as fractured outcomes and unforeseen losses that come from data. So how can organizations know that they indeed have foul data?
That's actually a really cool term. You really should trademark that. So that's a really great way to explain it, right? Like, you know, as much as we talk about Gen AI, we really do need to keep in mind that it is still part of the data landscape, right? Like traditional data platforms. You know, we've built data products for a very long time. We have data warehouses, lake houses, lakes, dashboards, machine learning models, et cetera, right? Like we have a ton of, you know, data products. But now we're getting into combining the structured and unstructured data and training against the models that may or may not be current, right? Like, so when I ask a question, I expect a response, and GPT would come back and give me a response with very, very confidently that, you know, hey, this is the answer, right? Like, I'll give you an example, right? Like I was helping my son with his, you know, summer work, right? Like, and was one of the, I was generally talking to him, and I asked him, who is Rishi Sunak? And he went to ChatGPT, because all kids now are fascinated by ChatGPT. So he started typing in, who's Rishi Sunak? And it came up with a response that, you know, Rishi is a British politician and he's a member of parliament, et cetera, et cetera. Right? And he came and gave me the answer. I said, did you know that he was the prime minister? And he's like, no, that cannot be true. And so we got into an argument about it. And then I had to show him that, yes, he is the prime minister, right?
Like until a few days ago.
Yeah, until a few days ago, right? Like, so I had to literally argue with him, show him other data point to show that, you know, hey, this is the accurate information. What you have is not accurate, right? Like, so I'm giving you that story to show the problem with LLM models and, you know, just the data currency and, you know, like how can you quickly be able to mislead, like, you know, how can it mislead you with some of the information, right? Like, so again, technology, you know, like in an organization, you can't have this kind of biased information. So yes, technology has come a little bit forward, now we can get into a slightly more sophisticated form of LLM, but you know, you can ground it with, you know, RAG models, you know, retrieval augmented generation grounded LLM models. You know, so that when you do RAG grounding, you know, like you, there is a retriever and there is an LLM as an output with a simple request response artifacts. And it's again, backed up by the content store, which could be open or closed, you know, like depending on what type of content, what type of purpose that you're building the LLM for so that you can keep that current, right? So now the LLM can actually retrieve the data. It can go to the data store and it can see, you know, like, hey, do I have the current data or not? And you can actually refresh the data, and that allows the data to be current, right? Like, this is one of the ways companies, I'm not going into all the other details about the RAG, but you know, this is one of the ways companies are countering the misinformation or the biased information that is being spread. Because in a company context or in an organizational context, it's very important for you to have the latest information. You have to be able to trust the information as well, right? And all the more to say that data and data quality becomes super important when we're talking about this particular topic. To your point, you know, like if you feed the data, if you feed the, you know, model with poor data, you're going to get poor results, mm-hmm. right? Like, again, having the right test data, having the right evaluation data, and having human in loop is going to help you to improve the model accuracy as well, because humans can rate the output and it can say that, yes, this is correct or this is wrong, so that it's a signal that the model can use to learn and grow and kind of like, you know, like get to the accuracy as well. So, you know, again, before any organization, any company jumps into AI, they really do need to make sure that they have trustworthy and they have data that's available as well, right? Like companies have built this data estate for a very long time, for years, and most of them are still in the process of understanding the existing code bases and the data. Right? Many companies are still on a very lower end of the data maturity curve. They have poor lineage. So data is sometimes not even cataloged, trending to limited understanding of how the data is generated. And if you throw in an increased complexity of unstructured data on top of it, it makes the problem, you know, it just magnifies the problem, right? Like, so that is one part that, you know, everybody needs to think about as well. And even with all of these, let's say we're solving all of these, right? Like even with that, intent and values, you know, like having a responsible AI framework is going to become super important as well, right? Like I have a son who plays Minecraft. And so like, you know, like Minecraft has a chat. So let's say I'm creating additional chatbot that is going to operate within Minecraft, right? Like, and if I'm only targeting that for children under a certain age group, it's going to have very different set of interactions. Mm-hmm. The responses are going to be very, very different than if it is talking to an adult. If a retail company has a chatbot and it has a portal for recommendations, that chatbot is going to behave differently. So you really do need to think about what is the purpose of the systems that we are building and what are the data that we are going to use to train them? You know, how are you going to evaluate and train the models and retrain the models so that you are being responsible and there is a transparency and there is security, privacy, you know, like all of those guardrails are very well defined and the system operates within those guardrails.
So you mentioned a couple of things which intrigued me. One was you talked about the responsibility of the human in the loop. For organizations that don't do this, you know, they let their models hallucinate mm-hmm. and then provide the data unfiltered out to their providers or to the consumers. Yeah. Should they be penalized for not doing their due diligence, especially from a human-in-the-loop perspective.
Should they be penalized and could they be penalized and how are you going to prove it? Those are all very different things, right? Like there are a lot more, this is one of the reasons I kept talking about compliance. You know, AI is one of those technologies that's yet to be regulated, right? Like, and we can argue whether it should be regulated or not. All of those are fine, right? Like it's more like, you know, like cars, like, you know, automotive industry has been regulated for a long time. It's not like a lack of innovation in that front. So yes, every technology, every innovative technology has to be regulated. Europe has taken initial steps in regulating AI, and I'm pretty sure every country is going to have their own regulatory policies. And I do believe, you know, just to plainly answer your question, I do believe that every technology, some of the emerging technologies which has, you know, which still needs a lot more guardrails and which is clearly open for interpretation, they need to be regulated. You know, again, we're seeing a lot more AI, at least the LLMs are mainly been on the text right now. Evolution is going to be on images, videos, and everything. So with deepfakes and others, you know, it's high time that this is going to be regulated.
Yeah. So as we wind up this conversation, Jay, have you seen any compelling stories? I mean, yes, it's still early. The ROI is probably not fully reaped yet. So, but have you seen any stories that caught your eye? You said this is a good use of effective data readiness.
So let's first see, you know, like what is LLMs really good at, right? Like, and then we can back that into the data, right? Like the models that we have today, like we were just talking about, right? Like they're mainly language-based. They work very well with unstructured data. And some of their mainly the capabilities have been around, you know, how do you summarize things? How do you translate? You know, like if I give you French, can you output that in English? That kind of thing. And how do you recognize patterns? And can you complete a code? You know, can you do Q&A? Can you do semantic parsing, et cetera, right? Like, you know, most of the key use cases that I have seen around the enterprises, which are high value, are addressing or identifying and addressing the process inefficiency, right? Like customer service and detect fraud. Can you detect defects in a manufacturing line, et cetera, right? Like, and it complements other models that the organization have because these are fit to purpose models and they have their own set of training data that they're being trained in. Where something like, you know, like the next set of evolution is going to be, you know, just refining, you know, how do you, when you add the images into the mix or when you add other types of unstructured data into the mix, that's where that's where the real value is going to come in, right? As far as use cases go, you know, like as I was talking about fraud detection, right? Like, you know, a lot of times AI is being used to, you know, for detecting counterfeit products. You know, if you look at mining industry, they use it to control the quality. You know, like I even heard in agriculture that, you know, like they use it to see, you know, like does the field needs more water or like, you know, like based on how the crop looks, you know, like they could see whether it needs water or, you know, like is there a lot of weeds where they can go cut down so that the actual crops can grow, right? Again, stepping back, right? Like GPT-4 was a really big model, which required a lot of investments and not every model would actually need that $100 million investment or $4 or $5 million investment that is needed to get this going. Again, when everybody wants to get going on the AI, they're also very, very cautious about privacy and legal issues as well. They're very cautious about making mistakes because we all know that, you know, there are fragmented data estates. And when you have fragmented data, that leads to very, very bad AI. And you know, like it results in very, very high cost in building this AI model. And also it produces very low value as well. So you know, like even with GPT-4, right, like the training cost was $100 million. But if you don't plan well, and if you don't think about how you're going to train the model, the mistakes could be in millions. Not every model would require that level of training, but the mistakes will still cost money and sometimes in the reputation as well. So all of this is important. So having a tight governance and driving the maturity and all of it is important. Now the focus is on governed AI. And along with it, you know, every organization need to think about and actually, you know, foster the experimentation, fail fast culture so that they can actually discover use cases that they have never thought about with those data that could be high value and that could give a very, very strong ROI as well. And, you know, last but not least, I'm one of those people who is very big on measuring things so that we know that effectiveness of whatever we do. So, you know, tracking the data used, right? Like which data is being used, you know, tracking the model performance, data quality, and, you know, highly queried data sets, you know, like all of this. I'm just only blurting out a few things, right? Like this will allow the companies to make the trade-offs and the decisions so that they can focus the budget that they have onto data readiness for the high value use cases. You know, it makes it easier for them to optimize the cost and prioritize the investments where the investment is actually needed, right? Again, you know, like stepping back, it's a journey. We're all going to learn a lot about AI and data and, you know, like how even the data platform, data estate is even evolving and all of those. So, you know, I'm very optimistic and super excited about Gen AI. And, you know, I really can't wait to see what value we could create with some of the multimodal capabilities.
So thank you for your time today, Jay. You know, appreciate you being here on the podcast. Talking about data readiness in organizations while we board the Gen AI train. I enjoyed your perspectives, right? I enjoyed your thoughtful responses to those questions and look forward to speaking with you again.
Yeah, thank you, Sri. Very much enjoyed this conversation and I hope your audience got the value out of the time that they spent. So talk to you soon. Thank you.
I'm sure they did. Thank you for watching this episode. Today we had Jay Natarajan, strategically tactical digital transformation leader, who is recognized for her visionary thinking, influence, and impact in the data and AI space. We explored the business value of data readiness, data management, and data governance for generative AI. We talked about some of the negative biases related to stereotyping and the potential for false narratives. We talked about organization readiness and some success stories as well. In future episodes, we'll continue to dwell on the valification of things with other thought leaders and industry executives. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Valification of Things. I hope you enjoyed it and learned something new. If you did, please share this episode with your friends and family, and don't forget to leave a review. We're always looking for ways to improve and bring in the best content possible. If you want to be featured on this podcast, please drop us a line at podcast@valification.com.